Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the man that I used to be. Calvary, things are different than before. As the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy, he ran and hid behind the door. And I said, son, little Bubba, don't be afraid, 'cause you've got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad that I used to be. To Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Wonderful meaning. Charlene's daddy used to sing that song. Had such a wonderful meaning back then, and it still does today. 1 Samuel chapter number 26. 1 Samuel chapter number 26, if you want to turn with us. 1 Samuel chapter number 26. A couple of names that I'll always have. I always have a hard time pronouncing names to try to get it biblically correct. And so I make a mess of it, and I really don't try to correct it. I just go on, all right? And so if you've got the correct pronunciation, keep it to yourself and don't share it with those around you, okay? And I trust that you pray for us. Country people one day will be able to speak properly, but ain't going to stop right now, okay? So it's going to continue. I want you to read something with me, and I want you to pay close attention. God knows what we need when we need it most. God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And when we think we're doing what we feel is right, sometimes we have to be corrected. Because the Bible says there's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we think I'm doing what's right, doing the best I can, and doing the best you can send you to hell. Only the way is through Jesus. Now I want to call your attention to David. He had been running from Saul. Saul was the king. David, you remember early on, when David was that little rudy little boy, they would call him, or and he went there and Goliath was in the way, and the king said, "Well, here, just try on my armor here and you can do what you want to do here." Well, when he tried on the king's armor, it didn't fit. Didn't fit. We know that story. He went on ahead and defeated Goliath. But you know, when the battles were taking place, David fought for King Saul. And whenever you stand and you support the king, you start to respect the king. You may not always agree with the king, but you respect the position. And that's what David had done. But then it come time when King Saul just didn't work out. And so they kind of parted ways, but the king began to pursue him. And when he began to pursue him, he wanted to take David's life. You have to understand, when God works in your life to do what His will is, sometimes you make a decision and you have to sometimes battle your own self. Sometimes you have to battle those that are around you, but to do what right, it will never be wrong. When you're following the will of God, it'll never be wrong. God will never lead you astray. God will lead you the path if you'll follow Him. So I want you to read with me 1 Samuel 26, verse 7. So David, and going down to Saul's camp. So in verse 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lies sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him, which meant Abner was stationed around Saul, and the men, they were kind of in a protective mode around the king. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." David said unto Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hands against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. And David went to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, and a great space being between them. And David cried unto the people and said to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art thou not a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore hast thou not kept the Lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy Lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. Then Saul knew David's voice and said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my Lord, O King. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you help us move upon our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Wonderful story, isn't it? It's an amazing story. It's an amazing how that God began to bring Saul right at his disposal. You see, when your enemy's there, and every day King Saul was after David. We go through a lot in life. We don't understand a lot of the old cultures, the old ways, and sometimes we have to be introduced to them. And so one of these things was, there was a man that was accompanying David. And he accompanied David to go in. They both just went in there and just, in the old terminology, we just snuck right up there to him. And when they got there, David's days of trouble would all have been over if he'd just let that man just run in through with that spear. Wow. But you know, it's never wrong. Never wrong. It's not bad. It's never wrong to do what's right. And David was not going to touch the anointed king. He didn't agree with what was going on, but he was the anointed king. And you know, when God puts you in that position of authority, who are we to second guess what God does? Who are we to put ourselves above and to make decisions for God? In fact, you today, you can say that God has let you live. God has let you breathe air. And God's let you function as you do day by day. But that doesn't give you the right and authority to do things above God. You see, to be a servant of the Lord, sometimes we have to yield to His power and His authority. That man could have run Saul through and Saul could have died right there, died right in his sleep. But David said, no, we're not going to touch the anointed. Well, as they go forward, they get their spear and they go to that other hill. Ain't it remarkable that David now has a conversation with Abner? Abner. In fact, that was the valiant man. That was the man. And be like that. That's the second in command. He was in charge, had the responsibility for the king's safety. The king's safety. It would have been like, listen, head of security in our terminology, this would have been like the secret service that protects the president. In other words, you have sole responsibility, day nor night, rain or shine, you're going to make sure the king is okay. Abner failed. Doesn't sound like anything much to talk about, does it? Abner failed. Abner went to sleep. The enemy snuck right up there and got the king's water and got the king's spear. And what was you doing? You was asleep. And David cries from a mountain and says to Abner, you deserve to die. Now, I want you to stop with me just a moment. One side of this equation, David says to the man that's with him, no, we're not going to touch the anointed. You know, that come from David's heart. David had feelings for the position of the king. David had feelings to do what was right and touch not God's anointed. Now, friend, when God begins to work on your heart, God knows exactly. You may not understand it. But God may send somebody along your journey to share with you, don't touch God's anointed. He began to work on this man's heart. Ain't that something? Abner, on the other hand, when David speaks to Abner, he says, you failed the king. You deserve to die. Man, that kind of language was far different from the man that went with him. That, in fact, that kind of language, though, is the language of you failed the king. Now, how can God use the same heart to speak kind words and use the same heart to speak you failed the king? Now, all right, just hang with me just a moment. God gives us all a temper, every one of us. Whether or not you admit it or not, you got one, okay? And you can lie all you want to the preacher. That's okay. Lying to the preacher is a common, that's okay. So, here's what you can, now preacher, I've never, even Judy has a temper. Ask Jackie. Now, y'all know Judy, okay? She's just sweet as she can be. And she's a tiger. Oh, never mind, I'll just go on. But you know what I'm talking about. We all have a temper. And when we release that temper, man. But then there's sometimes when we're loving and caring that we wouldn't do anything to harm a flea. Now, I don't understand what God's doing, but here's what God begins to do. God begins to work in David's life. And in this working in David's life, it's almost like God had to come on the scene. It's almost like God had to intervene. Because if God hadn't intervened, Saul would have died. If God hadn't intervened, friend, God said, Abner, you failed the king. It was me today, but who is it going to be tomorrow? God was intervening. And now here's something that's very unusual that happens. Because King Saul would get his people every day and they would pursue and they wanted to kill David. But here's what happens in verse 17. And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David? Is this thy voice, my son David?" Saul is pursuing David. Saul wants to kill David. And he hears. And he says, "Is this my son David?" Friend, the devil does a lot of things in our lives. The devil will do things to get you cold and indifferent on the voice of God. Bible tells me that he that often reprove and harden his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What that tells you is the more time God speaks to you, it's almost like your heart gets harder and harder and harder and colder, and the next thing, God could actually speak to you and your heart would be so hard or cold that you would just turn God off. In fact, the convicting power of God will do one or two things. It will let you draw closer to God, or guess what? You're further away from God. Now, here in this passage, whenever he says that, that was a statement. David was not speaking but only to his friend, his servant, we call it that, and Abner, the head of security. He was not speaking to King Saul. It's almost like God sent a voice, and that voice hit the heart of King Saul. And when David was speaking to Abner, it was not a voice of love and care and was concerned. He said, "You deserve to die." But you know what God did? God turned that voice around to speak to David's heart. The very words that might be encouragement to a Christian can be conviction to a lost person. The very word of God that is able to strengthen us, make us strong, make us just jump over mountains, be able to walk on water, is that same word that convicts the lost people. When the Bible speaks about when we find Christ walking on the water, and the storms was just raging and all, and Christ was walking on, and the disciples saw that it appeared to be a spirit. One of them said, "Lord, if it really be you, bid me come on the water." Here's my interpretation of the next verse. "Come on, boy." What does that mean? When you recognize the voice of the Lord, you'll step out even on water. When you recognize the voice of God, friend, David was speaking a language that all of a sudden hit Saul's heart and broke his heart. "Is this my son David?" Wow. God knows your need today greater than anyone else. And you may not think that there is no way God could see me in my condition and make a move. Friend, he did King Saul. Let me show you how much he did to King Saul. When Saul said this, Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this the voice of my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, O king." And he said, "Wherefore dost thy Lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my Lord the king hear the words of the servant. If the Lord has stirred thee up against me, let him accept the offering. If it be thy children or men, curse me before the Lord that have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, and say, go serve other gods." Now listen to this. "Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountain." Listen to what King Saul says. "Then said Saul, I have sinned." This is what Saul said. The king, the anointed king, the king that was man, head and shoulders above everybody else. It's kind of like the voice of God spoke to the heart of King Saul, and King Saul says, "I have sinned." I don't care who you are today, God will speak to you. God spoke to me, not one that I can hear like if you speak to me, but God was able to speak to me through the preached word of somebody that convicted my heart. And when that Holy Spirit convicted my heart, it was like God was speaking to me. And you know what King Saul said? "I have sinned." And you know what I said? "I've sinned." Boy, when you see you sinned, you can't unhide sin. You can't wish it to go away. It is there. It is staring you in the face. And King Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day." Ain't that what God does with our soul? On this day, God sees your soul precious, and Jesus died for the salvation of your soul. Today, friend, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but it applied to me today. You can have forgiveness of sin today. A little bit more, Saul says. He says, "Behold, I have played the fool. Behold, I have played the fool. This is the king of Israel. The man that could have died that day. The man that hears a voice from a hill across the way. And that voice is familiar to him. He's heard it before. It's kind of like God speaking to us. You may have heard the voice of God, but you said no to it. And if you said no to the voice of God, no guarantee of another speaking. But guess what? On this day, Saul hears something familiar. And he says, I have sinned. I have played the fool. A lot of people's going to be in hell, that they're going to cry out to God, I've sinned and I've played the fool. My friend, God gives you an opportunity today from right where you're at this morning that you don't have to play the fool any longer. Salvation can come to your house today. As of me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. God has come home. The chickens have come home to roost today, right here today. God has come visiting and knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, hear my voice. See, as God speaks to us, there's nothing no one else can do but God. No one else can help. You can come down here and pray. I can show you what the Bible says. But it's up between you and God whether or not you pray. I can't pray for you. Oh, sure, I can pray, save him. But that don't mean nothing. It's between you and God. Have you sinned? Have you come short? Yes, sir. But God was so wondrously, graciously sent his son Jesus to die for my sins. My sins. And he's done it for you. I thank God that I don't have to be held accountable for what I've done wrong. I thank God that my sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say those same things? Can you bear the testimony that is that the voice of my son David? In other words, he clearly heard the voice. Clearly hearing the voice of God means you can't say to God, you never told me. You never told me. I hope and pray that you've heard that you'll obey the voice of God. And that obeying the voice of God is saying, I have played the fool. Let's have a song of invitation, Brother Greg. What does it mean to play the fool? A fool says in his heart that there is no God. That's what a fool says. There's many of the fools in this world. You know the reason there's many of fools in this world? Because they don't believe God is. Now, I'm telling you, I believe God is. And I believe God is because he has a way. At whatever age, at whatever you've done, to be able to give you an opportunity. Somebody told me not too long ago, and they said this person, basically on their deathbed at the hospital, they went and visited. They began to share to that person on their deathbed, as we call it, about Jesus. Me, it'd be saying, boy, I don't know. Boy, that's taking a chance. Waiting to the last minute to get saved. They said that man asked Christ to come in his heart. You believe in deathbed religion, preacher? I believe it's possible that God can speak to you. I really do. I believe you can get saved on that deathbed. But I believe that's also the scariest thing in the world to wait till your last minute that you can be saved. But here's the way I can say that. The thief on the cross waited to the last possible minute, but he got saved. I don't recommend that, because we never know when death will find us. Friend of mine, can you admit you've sinned? Can you admit you played the fool? God saves an old fool like me. And God will save you if you'll come to him. May we stand. God's speaking to you. You come today, would you?